Yeah, I can tell it's already got a ring to it. Probably should come down just a little. Check, 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 check. That's good. Wow.
And what it means to all of us and how we deal with it. Do you ever get good cards? I got one that says, "Dad, you made me the person I am today. So that's on you, dude." Oh, yes. Mark Twain wrote this. "You know, when I was 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. And when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much that old man had learned in 7 years." That is probably not a good move, is it? The title is A Father's Responsibility to His Family. And really it's the question of how in the world can we have successful fathers? There are some guidelines. I've got three guidelines for you that in a moment that we'll look at. But I really think that God's remedy for our society today, you notice with all the destruction and disturbance and unrest that we are experiencing and watching our world crumble, most of those people who are causing most of that trouble don't have fathers at home. And I think a lot of the ills in society today could be helped a lot if we had responsible fathers doing what they're supposed to do in the home and not leave it to one person or to somebody that isn't even a parent to raise the kids. We need to raise our families as families, and our fathers have a specific role in that relationship. It's a partnership, but it is extremely important. And fathers, anybody that really wants to succeed as a successful father must accept their biblical responsibilities. We do have biblical responsibilities, don't we? Husbands and wives and children. And you can go on down the text, even the slaves in the family that were prevalent in the New Testament world. There was a responsibility to them. And so the Bible just sets you free when you look at it. Fathers who succeed accept their biblical responsibilities. Well, what in the world are those? The very first thing that I noticed when I looked at that: a successful father is one who is a Christian father. There are a lot of good men who do a lot of good things for their families. But a lot of them aren't saved. And so they don't have a relationship with a Heavenly Father. And if you don't have a relationship with a Heavenly Father, how can you be all that God wants you to be? The only way you'll have a relationship with a father is to be a Christian. You have to be saved. You have to ask Jesus into your heart. I had a good friend, or I still have a good friend, who wrote a series of plays for us to act out in church. And since he was a lawyer, he uses the name Frank Furter. Now, if you're in the law business, you know that that's a common name that they use. But we didn't know that when he wrote it. And it said this: Frank Furter died. Just suddenly, he died. And he stood before God. What would he do? What would be his response? And so we went through a lot of different scenarios. And the fun part was that we got the justice of the peace to come up and be the judge in the baptistry. But Frank Furter is the guy who stood before God, and you know what he did? He was a good man. He had been busy all of his life. He said, God, look at my life. I have attended church regularly and rain didn't keep me out. I showed up and I stepped up. Wherever they needed somebody to work, I worked. I taught. I was a leader. I did everything that I possibly could do. So he offered his resume to God to get into heaven. And the question that was being asked, why is there no Frankfurter in heaven? First of all, Frankfurter isn't in heaven because he denied his sin. He didn't want to really talk about the sin that he had. He was a sinful man. He stood before God and he just wanted to tell all about what he had done, but he denied his sin. You know what Scripture says? All of us have sinned. There's none of us that have not sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it also says there's going to be once to die and then the judgment. It says there's none perfect, no, not one. So we've got to come back and recognize we can't stand before God and deny our sin, because that is the level upon which you are judged. He denied the very authority of God's word. He thought he knew more than Scripture would say. He thought he knew more than anything else in the world that was there. You've got to admit your sin. You've got to recognize that God's authority is the ultimate word to us. We don't have anything that's any more important than that. And then we've got to not only admit that we've sinned, but we've got to come back to confess our sins and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've got to recognize that we've got to say, I'm sorry for my sin, God. I am just sorry that I have sinned. I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Son, and He will be my Savior when I invite Him into my heart. I want Him to come in as my Savior, and I promise I will follow Him as Lord the rest of my life. And you know what God will do? He will change your life right there. When you ask Jesus into your heart that way, you are saved. Not by my word, that's God's word. And God will reach out to you and He will save you. Well, we've got to be a Christian. That's the first thing. A good father, a successful father, must be a Christian father, leading by Christian principles. Second thing that you can recognize about this, a successful father loves his wife. He loves his wife. And if you notice the scripture that we read, it's really quite telling. How much does he love his wife? It says he's to love his wife as Christ loved His church and gave Himself for it. In other words, a husband, if he loves like Jesus did, he would give his life for his wife. That's exactly what Jesus did for the church. He gave Himself up for the church. Why? It was sacrificial. In other words, it was a sacrifice for Jesus to give up His life for the church so that it could be cleansed. I don't understand why we as a church are the way we are, but I do know that God wants to work into our lives so that we can be more than we could ever be otherwise. He wants us to be sacrificial and He wants us to be cleansed. We can be cleansed. He died for the church to cleanse her and to purify her. If you'll notice that, that's down in verse 25 and all the way to 33. But notice this. A husband, how much is he to love his wife? He is to love his wife as his own body. What did he say? That the two shall be joined together. When you read that in the Hebrew, it's they're glued together. I don't know. It's not cheap glue either. It's the heavy-duty stuff. When you are glued together, the two become one. I don't know how many weddings I've officiated at, but I always point out, the two of you will become one. And it's one in all the concerns that you have in this life, but it's in a one relationship so that, you know, you can't do everything yourself. You have to help each other. You work together to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. It is a complementary relationship. We are partners together, and boy, the longer you're together, the more you depend on that partnership. Because you just have to do it. There has to be some caring. We must care for each other as Jesus cared for his church. And got to realize that this relationship that we have been glued to, it's unbreakable. The glue is so important to recognize that it is a love that is transcending all other human relationships. It's what God does in the marriage that makes it that way. We've got to let God come in and help us become all of that and transcend all other human relationships. Verses 31 through 33, that'll tell you that. But the third thing is, a successful father raises his children biblically. You know, there's some people that can use Scripture, and I've heard some people try to go this way, telling the child, you know, I believe in belated abortions. Say 21 years? No. And you can't threaten a child into goodness. You can threaten them within an inch of their life to get their attention. But I don't think that's always necessary. I do know this. One of the best fathers that I have ever seen in my life was my wife's father. I felt sorry for him. He was an older man by the time that I got into the family. He had four daughters. Can you imagine? Four daughters and a son. Now, the son was the king of the roost. The four daughters just waited hand and foot on dad. And all he had to do, if he disliked something, he didn't have to yell. He didn't have to say anything. All he had to do is little quiver over on his side and let a little tear come down right there. And the little girls would do anything. They'd do anything that he wanted. And they learned to love their dad more than you can ever imagine because of the relationship. And you look at that and recognize whenever he did that, that gave a great opening for me to find her because of the kind of relationship she had with her father. It makes a lot of difference with your children. And it can make a difference for our whole society as we do that. We've got to also realize that when you do that, you're laying a groundwork for your children's success, but you've got to make obedience easy. It says in here, if you look at that passage again, this is in chapter 6, verse 4 really, it says, make obedience easy. Don't provoke them. Don't poke them with a prod. Don't give them needless restrictions, because sometimes we can be too hard. And don't build up a spirit of resistance in your child or in your children. That's a lot to be said, isn't it? You've got to have a God-honoring plan as a father. That's just what you've got to have. A God-honoring plan that is so important for all of us. A child needs to recognize that there is discipline that is required. We discipline, but we also get nurtured. Well, there's a difference there, discipline and nurture. We've got to be able to nurture them. We've got to educate them. And education is more than just what you get out of a book. It's more than what you just get out of a book. You've got to give them correction and administration to say, this is the way you're going to live your life if you want to be successful. This is the way we would like for you to live your life. This is an example that I've got for you, so why don't you follow it? We can do all of that. But there is always a way, and every child is different. They all do things that are different from the others. It's always kind of fun to watch. But you have to work with each child where they are and how they are. That is what we do as a father that is successful in raising our children. And recognize the greatest responsibility you will ever have in this world is your children. You'll make more difference in the world with your children than you will any other way. You've got to have that kind of relationship with them. We've got to have all of this plan, and it must be of the Lord. So I want to read that passage again, but I'm going to read it from the, and you notice I had to print this large so I can read it. This is from the Good News Translation. Sometimes it's called Today's English Translation. But it's a wonderful way of saying, if you can read it up to the third grade level, you can read the Bible. Husbands, love your wives in the same way that Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. He did this to dedicate the church to God, and by his word, after making it clean by the washing in water, in order to present the church to himself in all its beauty, pure and faultless, without spot or wrinkle, or any other imperfection. Men ought to love their wives just as the love they have for their own bodies. A man who loves his wife loves himself. No one hates his own body. Instead, he feeds it and takes care of it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. And Scripture says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will unite with his wife, and the two will become one. There's a great truth revealed in this Scripture, and I understand it applies to Christ and the church, but it also applies to you. Every husband must love his wife as himself, and every wife must respect her husband. Children, it is your Christian duty to obey your parents. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your parents. Honor your father and your mother. It is the first commandment that has a promise added, so that all may be well with you and you may live a long time in the land. Parents, do not treat your children in such a way as to make them angry. Instead, raise them with Christian discipline and instruction. It is my prayer for all of us today that especially on Father's Day, we'll recognize how important our responsibilities are. It may be that today, somebody who's watching this online or somebody here, you know you need to make amends with your wife. It's a good time to do it. You don't have to do it in front of everybody. You can do it later. But it needs to be done. That's our responsibility. And we need to make arrangements to love our children and to always be a part of their lives. But you have to take a back row sometimes when they have children and then they've got children of their own. It's scary when they have the reins in their hands and we just love to watch it. It's good to be a babysitter. It may be that today God is speaking to you in another way. Whatever it is, if you need to make a decision today, I hope that you'll come down. We're going to have a closing medley over here or a song. She's going to play for us. And then we'll be dismissed after that. But I'd like for us just to take a time to think, God, what do you want for me today?